Hugo Victor Marie, 1802 to 1885, French poet, dramatist, and romance writer, youngest son of General J.L.S. Hugo, 1773 to 1828, a distinguished soldier in Napoleon's service, was born at Besançon on the 26th of February, 1802. The all but stillborn child was only kept alive and reared by the indefatigable devotion of his mother, Sophie Trébuchet, died 1821, a royalist of La Vendée. Educated first in Spain and afterwards in France, the boy whose infancy had followed the fortunes of the imperial camp grew up a royalist and a Catholic. His first work in poetry and in fiction was devoted to the passionate proclamation of his faith in these principles. The precocious eloquence and ardor of these early works made him famous before his time. The odes which he published at the age of 20, admirable for their spontaneous fervor and fluency, might have been merely the work of a marvelous boy. The ballads which followed them 2 years later revealed him as a great poet, a natural master of lyric and creative song. In 1823, at the age of 21, he married his cousin Adèle Fouché, died 1868. In the same year, his first romance, Han d'Island, was given to the press. His second, Bug Yargel, appeared 3 years later. In 1827, he published the great dramatic poem of Cromwell, a masterpiece at all points except that of fitness for the modern stage. 2 years afterwards, he published Les Orientales, a volume of poems so various in style, so noble in spirit, so perfect in workmanship, in music, and in form, that they might alone suffice for the foundation of an immortal fame. In the course of 9 years, from 1831 to 1840, he published Les Feuilles d'automne, Les Chants du crépuscule, Les Voix intérieures, et Les Rayons et les Ombres. That their author was one of the greatest elegiac and lyric poets ever born into the world, any one of these volumes would amply suffice to prove. That he was the greatest tragic and dramatic poet born since the age of Shakespeare, the appearance of Hernani in 1830 made evident forever to all but the meanest and most perverse of dunces and malignants. The earlier and even greater tragedy of Marion de Lorme, 1828, had been prescribed on the ground that it was impossible for royalty to tolerate the appearance of a play in which a king was represented as the puppet of a minister. In all the noble and glorious life of the greatest poet of his time, there is nothing on record more chivalrous and characteristic than the fact that Victor Hugo refused to allow the play, which had been prohibited by the government of Charles X, to be instantly produced under the government of his supersessor. Le Roi s'amuse, 1832, the next play which Hugo gave to the stage, was prohibited by order of Louis-Philippe after a tumultuous first night, to reappear 50 years later on the very same day of the same month, under the eyes of its author, with atoning acclamation from a wider audience than the first. Terror and pity had never found on the stage word or expression which so exactly realized the ideal aim of tragic poetry among the countrymen of Aeschylus and Sophocles since the time or since the passing of Shakespeare, of Marlowe, and of Webster. The tragedy of Lucretia Borgia, co-equal in beauty and power with its three precursors, followed next year in the humbler garb of prose, but the prose of Victor Hugo stands higher on the record of poetry than the verse of any lesser dramatist or poet. Mary Tudor, 1833, his next play, was hardly more daring in its Shakespearean defiance of historic fact, and hardly more triumphant in its Shakespearean loyalty to the everlasting truth of human character and passion. Angela, Tyrant de Padoue, 1835, the last of the tragic triad to which their creator denied the transfiguration of tragic verse, is inferior to neither in power of imagination and of style, in skill of invention and construction, and in mastery over all natural and noble sources of pity and